Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's me back on Sports Saturday, Cody Tapp. Welcome in here on Sports Radio 810. I'm live here from Big O Tires. We're here until 11 o'clock. Kind of weird being back. I haven't hosted a Sports Saturday in a while. So, Jed, please forgive me if I say the wrong name of the show somewhere along the way. Though, I don't know, in the last 3 days I've hosted Sports Night, the program, and now Sports Saturday. Certainly I can get the number of shows I host correct. And I've hosted baseball tonight, pre and post. So I could probably get this right.
Maybe.
I'm an old pro.
You can certainly tell you don't do the show very often because we don't have a liner with your name in it anymore.
Oh, man, we used to.
I know.
I did Sunday a lot. I was Sports Sunday guy.
Yeah, we still have the Sunday one. I think I actually taped over the Sports Saturday one. I'll go ahead and add one back in for you, Cody, at some point.
What a guy. It can be official. As I'm out here on a Sports Saturday, and that's because I'm out here at Big O Tires. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And right now, Big O Tires is celebrating their grand opening at all Big O Tire locations. As part of that, Jed was talking about his lady friend's car breaking down. Maybe it's because she had a flat tire. The good news is she can get it fixed. All during the month of June, for every oil change, Big O will donate $1 to Alex's lemonade stand, making a difference in the fight against childhood cancer. But it's not that they just cost that, because during the month of June, they have buy three, get one free on select tires. Oil changes starting at $19.99 with a free location. They got a sign up in the store right now that says buy two, get two free tires. At that, for the nearest location near you, go to BigOTires.com. We're out here at the Legends one. I've got some prizes to give away. They're giving away a chance to win oil changes for a year, Yeti coolers, set of four tires, tire rotations for, I can't quite read that one, and Kansas City Royals tickets. So, I don't know if it was tire trouble that your lady friend had yet. I was just making a presumption to try to help sell Big O Tires.
It was so, not, you, but good sales job.
Good, but good work. Let's just pretend for the sake of story that it was. We also have some Boulevardia tickets to give away, and I'm trying to decide how to give them away. So know that if you're in the Legends area, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come out here and win some tickets to Boulevardia. Yeah, it'll be hot, but still, it'll be a good time. It includes general admission, two tickets to head out there. It'll probably have something to do with our World Cup fantasy team, I feel like. Right? Like, first person to come in here after, there you go, I like the sound effect. First person to come in here, like, after Messi scores a goal for us. If he doesn't, then I'm just going to burn these tickets and blame Rudy and Jed for their terrible drafting decisions. I'm just frustrated. We'll talk about that later. Andy Edwards coming up here at 10:30. It'll be Matt Verderam on all things NFL here in about 20 minutes as well. I do want to start with what ended up being the news of the day, which was Jorge Soler last night. And obviously not good news for the Royals. Now, a team that's 25 games below 500, I don't know, they're probably not sweating the loss of somebody, but they are because they need him to develop. If I told you how many days Jorge Soler has played versus not played, you got to guess, Jed, what do you think the ratio is?
This season,
and he hasn't
career.
Even missed time for this injury yet.
I feel like he's like a 60-40 player.
That's not way off. It's about 370 days being available to 170 not. And that's, like, that number is not good. For a professional baseball player in your career to be available about, you know, 65% of the time, like you're saying, that's not a good ratio. And for this is a freak injury, right? This isn't like he was running around and a hamstring got him, but we used to say that about Alex Gordon. And at some point, you're just cursed with being a person who gets injured. And I'm saying that as a person who is cursed with being injured. Like, sometimes the injuries have no rhyme or reason. I've been walking around with, like, a club foot, it seems like, for a month, right? I didn't do anything. It turns out that I might have been born with this problem. Born with some dumb, weird, fused bone thing that I didn't even know about forever and can be asymptomatic your entire life. This is the injury luck of Jorge Soler. And for a guy who was having his best year and what tends to be a big development year for players and a big jump year for players, for him not to be on the field, and if you're looking at any recent examples of it, probably for multiple months, 2, 3, 4 months, with a broken metatarsal, this is a huge setback for him. I mean, it solves the problem of where Jorge Bonifacio goes, I guess, when he comes back from his PED suspension. But this is just another thing tacking on it. You add that to the fact that Jacob Junis got crushed last night. What is there left to feel good about? Is there anything? Is it Brad Keller? Is that left? Is that it? Is that end of list? Is there something else?
Herrera maybe bringing back a good trade haul?
Yeah, I mean, once they start making a trade, but like on the current team, you watch the current team, what do you feel good about?
I don't know. I like the hats they wear for starters.
I like the colors. They wear good colors, but it's not Escobar. Mike Moustakas continues to play well, so I guess that could make you feel okay. But that, again, that's about the same. I feel the same about Moustakas as I have for a while. Witt, I know who they are. I know they're good players. That's not as surprising, but they're good players on bad teams. And I don't know if they're going to make these moves or not. And, you know, with Jorge Soler, I think part of it was we had started, like, this year had finally started to begin the transition of, I thought he could be on the team in 4 years. Like, he was logical to be a player on the team when they're talking about being good again. And now I just don't know, like, how he's going to be healthy by that time. Like, how in 4 years is he finally going to nip this injury stuff in the bud? Because, you know, even this year, before the no-luck injury with, you know, fouling a ball off your foot, he missed some time. It's not like he was on the field right away, right? Well, he missed time to start his career last year. He's missed little times here and there. Just ticky-tack injuries, but enough to just keep building up slowly.
And it speaks to the frustration of what this season has become and was in many ways even before they started. Trying to serve two masters by saying, oh, yeah, we're going young, you know, we're going to play the young guys. This was an old baseball team coming into the season. We saw that they still wanted to, I guess, try and preach that they were going young and they had all these young guys they were going to play at some point. Old players get hurt is what we're seeing, and it's just coming to fruition with the Royals. And when things, as you mentioned, start going bad, we've certainly seen in Kansas City, granted it's been a long time and we've had better baseball, but when things start going bad, they can snowball in a hurry.
Yeah, that goes back to the I'll never say it can't get worse. That's where I am with the Royals. I officially, by the way, pulled off my offer. What was it? Tuesday on, I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday on Sports Night, I offered Briscoe a double or nothing bet on, because he has the, like, I've got the Royals at 78 wins or whatever, something I got bullied into, but I'll end up spinning the wheel over 78 wins. But I gave him double or nothing on 100 losses, and I said I'd take the under. And I'll take the under 100 losses. All I got to do is take the over. He thought about it for 3 days, never got back to me. And after I saw the Soler injury last night, I took the deal off the table. Right? It seems like the right decision, I think.
Absolutely. What was Josh thinking, though? Why wouldn't he have jumped on that?
I don't know. It was just so low risk for him at that point, it felt like. And pacing for 110.
He's also so, I don't know, he certainly likes bullying people into spinning that damn wheel. So I'm surprised that trying, you know, getting two more spins wouldn't be right up his alley.
No, he's you know who he is. He's like playing against the person that you stop trading properties with in Monopoly. He is only willing, he pretends like he's interested in the wheel bets, but he's only willing to take wheel bets that heavily favor his side.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Only willing to take them if they heavily favor his side. If they don't, he's not interested.
I love your analogy there of the Monopoly bets. He reminds me of the guy in fantasy football or fantasy whatever who's like, I will trade you Ramon Torres for name whatever player you
all
want.
All I want is Bryce Harper and Mike Trout.
Which seems reasonable.
You're like, but I don't want those guys. Dude, look at your team.
Torres plays all the positions.
You need a guy who you can put at third or second or short. This is what your team is missing. You can't just have one guy playing the outfield. Like, Mike Trout only plays one spot. That's no good for you. You need a guy who moves around, right? That's the argument. Oh, God. It's awful. But it's pretty accurate, actually. That's a pretty fair analogy. Coming into this game, Soler was hitting 265 with a 354 on base, 466 slug. I think that's about where the expectations probably should have lied. The RBI numbers aren't there, but nobody's ever on base, so I don't think too hard about that. 9 home runs was an encouraging sign, but this is it. At 23, when he first got his full-time, you know, experience in the big leagues, put 101 games. But okay, that'll play. This will work. This makes sense. This guy's playing. The following year he gets hurt, he only plays 86. The following year in Kansas City, in a full year, he only plays 35. He gets up to 61 games this year, and keep in mind, that's with, how many games are we in now, Jed? 90? got to be getting close to that number, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's. I'm bad at math. 40,
it might be
22 and 47, whatever that is.
No, it's not quite that many that I was exaggerating. It just feels like 70 based on the way they're playing. 22 and what, Chad, do you say the record was?
22 and 47.
47. Okay, so it's almost 70. 69 games.
Yeah, Border Patrol.
Woo! 69 games. I'll mention it to Nate when he's my guest for On Deck later for Baseball Tonight pregame, just so he can have the appropriate response. But 69 games into this thing, he's played 61. You thought, okay, great. Dude, 61 of 69 games, that's what you want him to be, right? 130-game player? That's about what you envision for Jorge Soler with maybe a couple of those, maybe a little bit more if you slide him into the DH spot a couple of times like he was coming off that last injury. And then no, he suffers a foot fracture in his metatarsal on his left foot, and I think they're saying wait until they're waiting for the CT scan today. They're not even going to say how long he's going to be out yet because they're not sure of the severity of the injury. And he's sitting out there stuck in a situation where now he's only going to play what? Best case scenario is he plays what, a month at the end of this season? He's there like September through the end of the year. I mean, the last person who had an injury like this missed 2 to 3 months. So we can presume all of July, all of August. And at that point, if you're the Royals, would you even risk bringing him into September for a team that had likely already lost 90 games? I'm not sure I would.
I don't think I would either. At that point, too, they're going to have all of the September call-ups, guys who I don't think anyone at Omaha is really like banging the door down to get onto this ball club. But guys who you know, maybe they're trying to get a look at. Maybe at that point, Bubba Starling or somebody's healthy and they want to get an extended look at him. So I think that's more what September is, as opposed to trying to rush Jorge Soler back from an injury when you plan on him being one of your pieces moving forward.
Yeah, see, I'm with you, Jed. I just stick Bubba Starling out there. Like, and he's been hurt all the time, too, but you got way less invested. I mean, I don't know about way less, but obviously Soler is your actual real chance at having a Major League Baseball player at this point. And I wouldn't risk it. It wouldn't be worth it to me. Because, like, you get him out there, and, like, based on my current foot injury, I don't know that they ever get right ever based on that. So, I just can't imagine, like, going out there and, like, putting undue stress on it. And I get it. They're like, well, the doctors say that he'll be fine, and it's no chance of re-injury. But I'm like, screw that. Just, if for anything, just don't take more mileage off the tires, right? We're Big O tires. Here's your analogy, since we're Big O tires. Don't put more mileage on the tires. Like, if he's a guy who gets injury prone, don't put 30 more games on those legs. Don't put 30 more games on that frame. Just let him kick it. And I know you're like, well, we'd like him to get his timing back and feel comfortable. I'm like, nope. You know what? Soler's at peak age for Major League Baseball players, 26. That's where a lot of guys hit their prime. Fine. Just let him presume that he got something figured out. 265, 354, 466 a work. You'd like it maybe up a tick, but nope, we're just going to let that live. We're going to get cracking back at the top of next year because we do still want him to be around the next time this team is good. Otherwise, you're trying to fill every position. Like, I mean, Witt could be around, but he could be traded. I read Sam Mellinger's piece talking about how they should entertain the idea of Salvador Perez, which I think we've been saying since spring training. I never died down on that. I never understood when the Royals are, like, there was some anonymous source that said, everyone's on the table except for Salvi. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Why would he should also be on the table? They should all be on the table. And Soler probably should have had a conversation, too. And maybe here's the not good news, is that he starts putting himself even more on that table. If he gets into next year, starts next year healthy, and gets about 80 games into it, halfway through the year, and has a similar slash line, right? Say he's got 15 home runs hitting 265 with a 354 on base. I'd look to move him too. And I'd look to move him for somebody who's likely to be on the field for you. Because right now, a lot of the Royals prospects are running into that. You know, some of the luxury they had during their run, that is probably an underestimated part of their run. Eric Hosmer played every day, didn't he, Jed? Every game.
Yeah.
Mike Moustakas had the one, like he had the freak ACL injury, so he missed all of that year. But for 15 and 14, you know, like for 15 and 14, he played pretty much most of the time. And Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, I was going to say Lorenzo Cain, who arguably was their biggest difference maker when he was in the lineup, still was playing like 140 games. And I know that they took some of the wear and tear off his legs by shading him over to right later in games. But still, he was out there.
Salvador Perez, maybe one of the I mean, I think he set the record for innings played in 2015 by
for sure.
any catcher ever. So
one of the reasons why I've always been in the camp that you should trade Salvador Perez, because I don't think he's going to hold up when your team is ready to compete moving forward.
He played in 142 games as a catcher in 15, 150 in 14, and caught every single game of both of those postseasons. He played in 139 in 16. You might think about him being like hurt over the last couple of years. Remember, he's had a couple injuries pop up. Jed, 139 still in 16, 130 still in 17, and that's with injuries. There are healthy catchers that don't play that many games.
And back in the day, wasn't he also going back to Venezuela and playing like winter ball for,
yeah,
you know, 2-3 months? So that's what I mean with the wear and tear. Catchers aren't built to, I mean, to take that much wear and tear on their body. That's why, again, I go back to trading Salvi. I know he's a fan favorite, and everybody loves the Salvi splash, but again, it's about maximizing return and what you can do to make this team better for the future.
Yeah, and I think you need guys who might be able to be on the field. And you're staring down having to battle some of these injuries, too. Do you want to do it with the whole team? Right? That's the problem, is that you want to do it with everybody. You know what Raul Mondesi can't do? Stay healthy. Like, even if it's like Bubba Starling, you've got your heart. You can't stay healthy. You know, and it's not everybody, right? Whit Merrifield's been a very durable player during his stretch. And I know Mike Moustakas is not a perfect example of that. But during their run, like their key run, Jed, 149 games, 136, 147, 140, or 140, 147. And then in 2017, played 148. You might think of him as being injured, and he's played in 68 of the 69 games this year. So there's 1 year, 2016, where he was hurt. In 2011, when he was 22, he only played 89 games. Other than that, the lowest total he's turned up is 136. You know, they can't. Soler's going to play 60. 60 games again. Like, that is an underrated aspect of their key run during the World Series. Health. Health. And if Jorge Soler and Raul Mondesi, who probably do factor to be two of your biggest pieces, right, going into that, can't actually be on the field, what good is it to you? Jorge Soler's played the most games he's played in a year is 101. And he's not going to break that streak this year. Not unless he heals like Wolverine and comes back in mid-August from an injury they're saying is going to take 2 or 3 months. He's not going to beat that. He's never played more than 100 games. Mike Moustakas played more than 130 games in like 6 of the last 8 years. We already mentioned Perez, Witt, and even hell, Escobar never misses a game. He hasn't missed a game since, what, 2016? Is that the last time he sat? I can't remember the total. Whenever I was talking to Maria Torres yesterday, she's like, well, you know, if they put Mondesi there, then they might break Escobar's streak. I'm like, I don't care. He already has the Royals record. He gets to own that now. Just let him own that forever, because no one's ever going to play as many games as Escobar did in a row here. So just let him own that forever and move on. He has the record. Once we have the record, don't we all agree that it doesn't matter anymore? Does he have to bury it or something?
He's chasing down Cal Ripken.
Oh, God.
They're on the same level. One was a Hall of Famer. One is a Royals fringe major league player.
Yeah. As you might remember, there were some people that accused Cal Ripken of hurting his team down that stretch in the end run, too. You ever wonder, like, he was a, you know, obviously Cal Ripken Jr. is a Hall of Famer. But some of his Hall of Fame numbers are, like, if he were a hurt player, Jed, or didn't play the amount he did, some of his Hall of Fame numbers are a war of attrition. Like, you know, going out there and playing every day. Like, I'm going to presume that you're a knowledgeable baseball fan, and you wouldn't disagree with the fact that King Griffey Jr. is a superior talent to Cal Ripken Jr.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. But the difference is that Cal Ripken Jr. just played every day. And there's value in that. You actually need a couple of guys who can do that. Hunter Dozier hasn't exactly been injury adverse either, right? None of that stuff has been solving its own problem. Like, they just keep running into each other over and over and over and over again. Good God, Cal Ripken Jr. Just so many games. But career slash line, .276. That jump out to you as a Hall of Famer? Oh, cool. .340. This is literally like the line I just read for Jorge Soler this year. .276, .340, .447 is legitimately Jorge Soler's slash line this year. Like, obviously he's got 430 home runs. But, you know, it's easier to get 403 home runs when you play 160, 162, 162, 161, 162, 162, 161, 162 games every year, right? And so it turns out it's real easy to do that when you literally just play every game all the time. Jorge Soler, I'm not saying he's going to be Hall of Famer Cal Ripken if he had just gotten on the field, because Cal Ripken's home run numbers were really consistently in the 20s his entire time. He was a good walker that entire time. Not a great, but he always, you know, he took some walks. I'm not saying that he can't be that, but that's the point. The difference is one guy can stay healthy and the other can't. It's part of the reason that the Royals are stuck with Escobar so long. They just want a guy who can be on the field. I mean, I think if you can get Soler healthy for even part of next year, and he's riding high and someone's looking for an outfield bat, call. And I like Jorge Soler, and I don't take giving him up lightly. But, man, I would at least entertain it. We got to take a break here on Sports Saturdays. We're out here at Big O Tires out at the Legends. Don't forget, the big grand opening specials are right now, like buy three, get one free on select tires. They're celebrating this at all of their Big O locations throughout the entire month of June. You can also register to win great prizes like set of four tires, free oil changes for a year, Royals tickets, and so much more. All you have to do is enter to win at your nearest participating Big O Tire store. You can also do it on Facebook or Big O Tires of Kansas City at BigOTires.com. Coming up here in about, I don't know, after the break, we'll get Matt Verderam, who will talk all things NFL with us. And, of course, if you come join us at Big O Tires starting at 10 o'clock, we're going to have free pizza, Jed. Don't try not to be jealous. 10 a.m. free pizza. Did Messi just miss an opportunity, by the
yes.
way?
Yes, he did.
That's just really unfortunate. Keeping an eye on the World Cup, Andy Edwards will get us all caught up on that coming up in a little bit as well. But we'll take a break. We'll come back. Matt Verderam of FanSided.com will join us next year on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We can get back to the Royals and the Jorge Soler injury a little bit later on in the show. World Cup stuff with Andy Edwards coming up in a little bit. But we're going to talk football, as in American football, not the World Cup, with Matt Verderam of FanSided.com. Matt, do you partake at all in the World Cup? Do you watch the festivities?
You know, I haven't yet. I caught a little bit of Argentina-Spain at the office yesterday. But I got to be honest, I'm that fan that if the U.S. was in it, I'd be all in. But they're not, and so I really don't have any rooting interest. I'm Italian. Italy's not in it. It just tough for me to get into.
No, man, just don't choose only American football for you, huh? I know you're a hockey guy.
I am a hockey guy. I love hockey, but unfortunately, no hockey going on for me either. I'm a baseball fan, but my team stinks. I got nothing currently.
There's no way your team stinks worse than the
Royals.
Oh,
I'm an A's fan.
Who's your team?
They're not worse than the Royals. I'm an
Oakland. Oh, no, the A's
fan.
Are actually, you know, passable at the moment.
Yeah, they're average. But, I mean, it's, you know, every night you turn on one game, they're good. The next night the guy gives up eight earned and two and a third. It's a murder out there. So it's okay. It's better than it's been, but it's not good.
but it's not good. They're still the A's. They're just going to end up being the Portland Athletics eventually. You know that, right?
I hope they would be. I would take a new stadium. I don't care if they move them to Albuquerque. Just get a new stadium so they don't give up on Chapman and Olsen and all these kids coming up, but it doesn't matter. They're basically a farm system for the Yankees anyway.
So would you be, I guess since it's funny to talk about because we've talked so much about the Raiders and their eventual move to Vegas, are you you would stay a fan of a team even if they changed cities? Like if you were a Rams fan, would you be a Rams fan now even though they ditched you in St. Louis? Or is it just the way that they leave that matters?
See, to me, I don't care because the only team, I'm weird. The only teams that I am a fan of, because I grew up in New York, so I'm a Knicks fan and I'm a New Jersey Devils fan in hockey. So those teams, if they moved, it would be far different to me because I grew up going to the games and being in the,
sure.
in the area. Like,
sure.
Even though I've been a Chief fan since I was 5 years old, I didn't grow up in Kansas City. It would certainly be weird if they moved, which, of course, they won't. But if they did, it would be very strange. But, yeah, I don't have, like, a civic attachment to those teams. So it would be easy for me. I would still root for them regardless.
But if they became the Kansas City Knicks, you would have a hard time.
You know, the Knicks stink so bad, I wish they'd become somebody else's Knicks. They're a disgrace
that.
To where I'm from. But, yeah, it would be weird. Like, that would be weird because when I think of the Knicks, I think of home. I think of, you know, my personal attachment to them. You know, I grew up listening to, you know, Mike Francesa talking about the Knicks every night, whereas I didn't hear him talking about the A's. So, yeah,
sure.
It's a little bit different.
We got a little bit of a break in the action here for the NFL. Obviously, mandatory minicamps for teams are mostly done, and now we sit through the dead period waiting for training camps to start. But there are multiple stories kind of floating around there, possibly. And I guess I'd start with, you know, we can get back around to the Chiefs here in a minute. I'd probably start with the Cardinals because I was surprised by David Johnson's holdout. mostly because he's in the final year of his rookie deal. But then, man, I started to look at it, and he's 27 years old, and he only makes $1.8 million, and he's about 70% of their offense, and he knows it. And he's looking to get a deal now, and I can't blame him because this might be the only big deal he gets as a running back. At some point, all running backs are going to have to start doing this early, aren't they? Because with every single salary going up in the NFL, running backs are actually still going down, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think there's any question. Look, you know, with David Johnson, he is a unique case because we've seen Le'Veon Bell. He's holding on now for a second year in a row. He's on the tag. And
then they'll just let him go at the end of it.
I was just about to say, they will drive him into the ground. They will give him 350 to 400 touches this year, and then they will let him walk and say, good luck to your next team getting four or five healthy years out of you. Running backs take a pounding in the league, unlike probably any other players. And so you have to think, if you're a running back, you're getting one good, solid contract beyond your rookie one, if you're lucky. And if you're David Johnson, who came out of college, I believe at 24 years old, like, this is it. He's not getting a third contract. If he is, it's a, you know, it's a 1 year, $3 million type of thing. So I totally understand why he's doing this. Now, he's a unique case because Bell has had two great years coming on, you know, and then he's got to hold out hoping to get a long-term deal. Johnson was phenomenal 2 years ago. Last year, he got hurt in the season opener, didn't play again. So that makes that contract negotiation really intriguing. But the Cardinals have to shell out some money here. Now, if I'm the Cardinals, I wouldn't give a huge term, A, because he's 27, and B, because they're rebuilding. But they're going to have to make something work there. I would also, you know, I don't think they'll do this. Would the Cardinals explore trading him? The Cardinals are not winning a Super Bowl this year. They're probably not winning a Super Bowl the next couple of years. Do you move him? I don't know. But I think it's intriguing to at least think about.
When, you know, I asked this, and the reason why I'm so interested in it is we're only now in the second year for Kareem Hunt. But he's not a first-round pick, which means he's only got 4 years, which means we're only like a year away from these conversations starting again. And if it's any history of what the NFL's been doing with running backs, it's you pay him for the 4 years, you never give him the extension. If you really like him, you tag him for a year. And then if you really, really like him, you tag him for another year, and then you dump him. I don't know, is there a solution to fix part of that problem for the running backs? Because even around like the, you know, the tiered system, for example, still make some of the younger guys the highest paid running backs just because if you're picked in the top five, you're actually making more than vets because of how quickly they dump these guys. For example, despite the fact that, you know, like they went through the whole tier system, right, to try to make sure the first round picks weren't the highest paid player in the NFL every time they got drafted. Like they're like, Sam Bradford, now the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. They stopped that stuff because it was getting kind of ridiculous. But Saquon Barkley is the fourth highest paid running back in the NFL by average annual per year. Leonard Fournette is sixth. Like, there's not a vet on that list. That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that's why I thought the Giants kind of dropped the ball by taking Barkley. I think he's going to be a terrific player, but you are paying him at the top of his position salary scale, and he hasn't played it down yet. Now, you could argue, well, they're going to get their best production out of him, or his best production, and then they could maybe move on, but then you say, well, 5 years of a second overall pick, is that worth it? I don't know. Probably not. When you look at Kareem Hunt, you know, the bring it full circle over the Chiefs. He's got, you know, 3 years left on his rookie deal. He doesn't have that fifth-year option. It wasn't a first-round pick. If he goes out and has two more really good years, not even lead the league years, but, you know, 1,200 yards rushing, 300 yards receiving, 400 yards receiving, the Chiefs are going to have an interesting situation after two more seasons because you've got a situation where Hill's going to get paid. Hill's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. He is going to get paid a mint if he continues to play the way he has.
Chris Jones
Sammy
Watkins too.
Is making $16 million a year over the next 3 years, and that is almost an uncuttable contract. Now, they have to at least go through the first 2 years, and the third year, they cut him, I believe, it's $7 or $8 million in dead money. So Hunt, if he plays well the next couple of years, he's going to want to be one of, if not the highest paid running backs in the NFL, and the Chiefs are going to have to make some interesting decisions. Kansas City's in a weird spot, because they've got a lot of players who are on big deals. Fisher, Houston, Berry, Kelsey to a lesser degree, although he's a bargain considering his talent. But of course, Watkins, Hitchens. They're going to have to figure out who they want to keep and who they don't. And Hunt's going to be interesting because as a running back, we talked about it, you age quickly And so the Chiefs are going to have to figure out if they want to give him a big second contract. But luckily, they've got a few years to think about it.
I would think, like, if he led the league in rushing again, I'd hold out in year three if I were running back. I'd be like, screw you, pay me. Like, you may never pay me again, so pay me now. He makes $821,000. Would you like to guess how many Chiefs running backs make more than that? Because the answer is three.
I was just about to say, I know Ware and West do.
Yep, you know, so does Damian Williams. Damian Williams at 1.2.
You wonder, how does that play in the locker room? Right? Like, nothing against Damian Williams, but you're on that team last year and you saw Kareem Hunt did for you. If you're Kareem Hunt and you're thinking, they're paying Damian Williams more money than me, really? Okay.
You know, I'd be like, hey, can you at least give me – yeah. Can you at least give me to 1.2? What the hell? Like, I'm not asking for the world here. This year, can I get to the, like, lowest possible salary, please?
Yeah, the NFL is a weird business because unlike any of these other sports, these contracts aren't guaranteed. You know, it's always – you see these guys get these huge deals, then you look at it, a third of the contract's guaranteed. And so, like, you know, Kansas City, cap-wise, they're getting in a better spot. You know, John Dorsey, I was always a Dorsey guy, but I will say he was terrible at the cap. They spent way too much money on certain players. They put themselves in positions where they were paying out a ton of dead money. I don't believe they have a cent of dead money going forward. But they are going to have to figure out who they want to keep, who they don't. Justin Houston, to me, this year, this is make it or break time with that contract. They are going to have to – he's going to have to play very well for them to keep him on that number. Now, they may not cut him. They might restructure. He might take a pay cut because he knows he's not getting that money anywhere else. But if Justin Houston doesn't play really well this year, they are not bringing him back on that contract. There is no chance.
Well, at the very least, they're entertaining the idea of moving him around for the first time. And I've heard, like, somebody called in yesterday. I was hosting, you know, in the middle of the day, and somebody who's called in the other day and said, hey, do you think that, you know, like, I'd rather him just stay in one spot. Dominic guys just stay in one spot. I'm like, not anymore. Like, he mentioned, like, Reggie White. I'm like, yeah, no, those guys kind of used to do that, pass rushers. But anymore, like, I think Aaron Donald's the best player in the league. He doesn't stay in one spot. That dude goes everywhere. J.J. Watt goes everywhere. I mean, teams utilize their best players differently than they used to on defense, don't they?
Yeah. Look, I don't think there's any question. It's a different league now. It's a matchup league. And guys come in and out. You know, when Reggie White played, yeah, you had nickel and you had dime, but you didn't mix and match very much in those days. I mean, if you look at snap counts back then, guys played every snap. Nickelback came in occasionally, and you took out one linebacker, so on and so forth. But, now there's a million different packages that guys come in, they come out, certain situations. And if you're Justin Houston, I read that quote from the outside linebackers coach of, hey, you know, if their left tackle is worse than their right tackle, we're going to put them over there. We're going to move guys around. And I thought to myself, how have they not always been doing this? Which is something I've thought about for a long time, but my answer has always been, well, Bob Sutton. And, well, okay, but Bob Sutton is still there, and now all of a sudden he's on board with all this. I've never understood why they don't try more things, especially, frankly, like Justin Houston. Look, he's got a good power move. He's got a good speed move. He can get by you. Dee Ford has one move. Dee Ford, if he doesn't get around the corner, it's over. He has no inside move. He's not bull rushing anybody. And if the right tackle is slow-footed, why wouldn't you put Dee Ford on that side? I've never understood that. But, listen, I think it's a good thing for the Chiefs. And now they've got Breland Speech and Passione. The Chiefs should be multiple in the way they play. Chris Jones should move all over the defensive line. They're going to have to manufacture some good defensive play this year because they've got a ton of moving parts, got a ton of new faces. This is going to be a challenge for the Chiefs defensively, especially at the beginning of the year.
Do you think their defense will be better, worse, or about the same this year?
I think their run defense will be much better because I like Nadi coming in from Florida State. I know he's a rookie, but he's a big-bodied kid. I think he'll play well on first and second down. I think Hitchens is a tremendous upgrade over Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson, obviously, a Chiefs Hall of Famer all the way when he retires. But at this point, I don't think anybody would argue that he had lost a couple of steps. So with him and Ragland in the middle, they bring in Kansas City native Xavier Williams from Arizona. I think he's going to help them. And Eric Berry, of course, coming back. It's like putting another linebacker in there. And they add Doran O'Daniel. I think the Chiefs can be really good against the run. My question is, if nobody gets hurt in the secondary, it's maybe average. If Fuller gets hurt, if Berry gets hurt, It is a circus back there. There is nobody who you'd say, I feel really good about that guy. I think Steven Nelson's all right, but I don't think he's a star by any stretch. David Amerson, he got cut by the Raiders who couldn't guard you and me. So I have real questions. I think ultimately they're a little better only because I like they added depth up front. I think they're going to be much better against the run. And I think they're going to be able to key on teams being more one-sided in terms of their run pass downs because I think the Chiefs are going to score a lot of points. And I think they're going to have leads in some of these games. And so Sutton's going to be able to key off a little bit more because I think he's going to know, look, my offense might score 30 points a game. If we give up 24 a game, but we're just really aggressive, force a turnover, dude, we're probably going to win. So I think they're better, but I don't know that they're good.
Well, that's fair. I mean, they're still better than the Raiders' defense probably, right?
The Raiders' defense is an atrocity. The Raiders' defense is Khalil Mack and 10 guys who are road cones. I don't know. You know, I was actually talking to my old man about this, who's also a Chief fan from way back, and I said, you know, when you really think about it, I don't know if the Chiefs played two really good games against Oakland this year. The Chiefs might score close to 100 points total in these games. They can't guard anybody. They can't guard Hill. They certainly can't guard Kelsey. They have nobody who matches up with Watkins. Their run defense isn't good. If you can just chip Mack and slow him down, there's nobody else. I mean, Bruce Irvin's decent, but he doesn't strike that much fear into you as a pass rusher. I think the Chiefs legitimately might hang 50 points on them in one of those games. They do not have much talent on the back end of that defense.
Where are the Chiefs? You know, I saw, you know, obviously different sites put different things out at this moment, and everybody's got a varied opinion on this. Somebody was discussing the, like, top receiver cores in the NFL. And I think, you know, part of it was coming around the conversation because they were moving, you know, some of it came around because, you know, like, would Lamar Jackson play that role? Because they'd already started to move him around a lot. And this, you know, at least one list had the Vikings as one, the Falcons as two, the Steelers at number three, the Chiefs at four, and the Cleveland Browns at five. Does that, you know, where do you think the Chiefs, I guess, rank amongst the top teams as far as weapons go on the offensive end?
I think you're just talking about receivers. They're
no, this includes
five.
Kelsey. It's like, it depends, but.
Yeah. I think. If you include, you know, pass catching weapons, I think Kansas City, you can make an argument for one. I certainly think they're top five. I would put them in the top three. I think they're right there with Pittsburgh. You know, you put them in there with the Giants. To me, the difference is there are some teams in the league, if you look across it, that have two good receivers, two even really good receivers, whether it's Pittsburgh or the Giants or even the Lions, teams like that.
Or Thielen and
nobody
Diggs. I like the Vikings.
Tight end. Yeah, the Vikings. Yeah, great example. Right. But nobody has a tight end that is also like a really good wide receiver in terms of statistics. And so I think the Chiefs, when you include Hunt and you include Conley coming back, he's a nice role player for them. You can make an argument the Chiefs have the best offensive weapons in the NFL. I don't think anybody can throw out the two receivers, the tight end, the running back like the Chiefs can. There are teams maybe you could say they're stronger at one of those spots. But in terms of totality, I don't know that anybody's got more talent. In Kansas City, you know, I was on the station last night with Joshua Briscoe, and we were talking about, he said, how would you guard the Chiefs? And it's a great question because I don't know. I don't think anybody in the league outside of maybe Jacksonville, maybe the Rams, the Kalib and Peters, can guard the Chiefs man-to-man. I think you're going to see a ton of zone. I don't think you're going to see teams blitz them at all because if they don't get home, they're done. I think what you're going to see is that Hunt is going to have another good year because teams just aren't going to stack the box against them. They can. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it shakes out early on in the season when nobody has tape on the Chiefs yet. But hey, when you look at the weapons, it's hard to argue with who the Chiefs have put together.
Boy, it just adds even more pressure on Mahomes. No one's going to be able to have the, like, well, he just didn't have any talent around him. No one's going to say that.
No.
There's no way to say that. That's not an acceptable answer at this point for the Chiefs.
I don't know. And, Grant, I'm based in Chicago, but follow this team as closely as I think it's about anybody. I don't know that I can ever remember more pressure being on a player on the Chiefs than there is on Mahomes. I know, you know, when Berry came out, there were huge expectations. You know, there were big expectations on some other players I can think of, Marcus Peters being one of note recently. And, of course, Montana when he got here, but Montana was well cemented as who he was. I don't know that there's ever been more pressure on somebody immediately to be great than there is on Mahomes. Like, if he's just good this year, he's good. He throws 3,800 yards, 24 touchdowns. People are going to look at him as a failure. I don't know. The only way he can win, in my opinion, in the eyes of a lot of fans, is if he goes to the playoffs and he wins games immediately. If they go to the playoffs this year, if they're 10-6, and they go to the playoffs, and they lose in their first game, everybody's just going to say he's failed. They can win the division. None of it matters. And so that is a very, very tough spot to come into as a 22-year-old kid who's starting for his first year in the NFL.
Well, that's what happens when you take your first quarterback in 30 years. They haven't done any. I don't feel bad for them, Matt, because the Chiefs have done nothing to to put out the flames of the excitement around them. Just keep talking all the hype. I asked Mahomes directly about the hype. He said he hears it. He also handled the question just fine. He's like, yeah, you hear it, but I mean, you can't really think much about it. I got to do all this other stuff. I'm like, well, that's a pretty acceptable answer. But you hear it, though, right? Because there's a lot, and I'm just trying to warn you about that moment. Matt, it's always good talking to you. I guess last thing, and then just out of curiosity, what week will Lamar Jackson be the starting quarterback for the Ravens? I'm guessing like 7.
You know, they gave him all the reps in the OTA the other day. Everybody was freaking out about that. I think that was more just give him a shot. But Flacco's been bad the last 3-4 years. I don't think anybody reasonably could argue against that.
No, he
so
sucks.
When I look at Jackson, I think it depends. If they're in contention, and I think they might be in that division, I think he sits. Even if Flacco's not that great, I think he sits. If they are 3-5, I think he gets in the game. So if they're not in contention, I think by midseason he's a starter, and then they will do whatever they have to do to get rid of Flacco at some point in the offseason. If they're in contention, I think it's kind of the Mahomes thing. He sits for a year, and then he gets the reins next year. But I'm fascinated to see him. I thought he was a steal. I thought Jacksonville should have taken him a couple picks earlier. They didn't. He is going to be one of the more exciting players to watch in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to be something. I don't, the second people start being like, he looks like a young Vic, I'm like, pump the brakes. But, that happens with every young quarterback. I get it.
Incredible talent athletically. Vic is the most gifted athletically that we've seen come out of college. I think Lamar Jackson's going to be fantastic, but he's not the athletic profile that Michael Vick was. Michael Vick might be somebody that we don't ever see again in the NFL.
No, but for people who want to say like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes' names together, so I can't really tell people to calm down their expectations. Just enjoy it, Ravens fans. Hope the world away.
Sure.
Call him Michael Vick if you want, and then, accept what he really is if, probably not Michael Vick. Matt, it's good talking to you. Obviously, we've got a few weeks off here from camp, but I'm sure there'll be, there's been like 9,000 arrests seemingly recently, so there'll be something that comes up in the NFL here shortly, I'm sure. We'll talk then.
All right. Sounds good, Cody. Have a good Father's Day.
Thanks. Matt Verderama, fansided.com here on Sports Saturdays. We're live at Big O Tires. In about 10 minutes, Pizza Hut's going to be delivering free pizza. That's right. Free pizza here at Big O Tires. Don't forget, it's the big grand opening week, big grand opening month, if you want to take it that way, for the Big O Tires location at the Legends, if you want to come get that pizza, or come get some phenomenal deals here as well, like buy three, get one free on select tires, oil changes starting at only $19.99, and a free tire rotation. Plus, for the month of June, they're doing great things with Alex's Lemonade Stand. They got someone here now making a difference to fight childhood cancer. You can see them over there making lemonade as we speak, which is a really... obviously, for an incredibly good cause. Plus, I mentioned free pizza. Everyone likes free pizza. Charlie's like looking out the window, like, oh God, it's got to be here soon, right? Where's that free pizza? It'll be here soon enough. Free pizza, pizza.
We'll Cody, you know who really likes free pizza?
You?
Well, me. Tyronn Lue, that's who.
Yeah, well, he didn't get any, did he, Jed? If he wants to come in here and follow the rules, he can have all the pizza he wants. All the pizza Tyronn Lue wants. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Matt Verderam had to say and start talking a little bit about how Messi's going to let me down next here on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
finishing up hour number one here of Sports Saturday Live from Big O Tires out at the Legends. Pizza Pizza will be here soon for you to enjoy while you're here. Check out all the great deals at Big O Tires as they're celebrating their grand opening all for the month of June. I saw another miss by Messi, so since we took that break. So continue to be frustrated with our number one overall pick, Jed. It was you and Rudy that chose him.
Yeah, Rudy's back here. He also wasn't the number one overall pick. He was the number two overall pick.
Oh, who was number one overall?
Neymar went number one.
That's just...
Well, Shane, soccer expert, of course, had the foresight to draft Cristiano Ronaldo. And there's a free kick upcoming, so maybe we will get a goal here.
Woo! I can hope. You realize every time I make fun of like Argentina, like right at the break, like how embarrassing for them that they're even with Iceland. And then I'm like, man, the U.S. isn't even in the World Cup. Iceland, for example, has 50,000 less people than Wichita. And we don't have enough soccer players in the entire U.S. to manage to pump through this. And I don't know who's in Iceland's World Cup qualifying group. It's their first World Cup ever, though, right?
Yes.
So what group do they have to qualify out of, do you know?
The UEFA group, Rudy says.
That's a tough
the
group,
European
isn't it?
Group.
Yeah,
that's
tough.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
Sorry, we're kind of on pins and needles here on this free kick.
Oh, okay, well, let's wait. Oh, tell me. I can only barely see it. Looks like
he
got knocked back.
He kicked it right into the wall. Rudy threw something. Now he's leaving. Wow.
Our team stinks.
They don't stink. Pogba had a nice goal today. That was a brilliant finish. We'll talk more about the World Cup, though, in our next segment.
Yes, we will. We will talk more about it. But part of, like, you know, the question that Briscoe obviously asked him, and part of the question you have to ask yourself, generally speaking, is how will teams guard the Chiefs? And I think, well, like, part of me is just like, oh, I'm wide-eyed and optimist, and there's no way to guard them. I thought that about part of last year's team, and then they went through a six-game stretch where kicking a field goal was hard. Somebody ran the math, and Harrison Butker would have set the record for number of field goals made last year. So the biggest difference in all the offenses, can Patrick Mahomes get him in the end zone more? Right? He was on pace to set the record. He set the rookie record without even trying that hard. He would have broken, by the way, the person, do you know who holds the record for most field goals made in a single season?
I have no idea.
It's David Akers. Do you know who his quarterback was?
McNabb.
Alex Smith.
Oh, nice. Nailed it.
So Alex Smith led, like, had that worked out, he would have led the two teams with the most field goals offense. That's not great, man. How they stop him, I guess I'd probably start with Kelce. I feel like it all hinges on there. Although, man, I don't think I'd be wanting to leave lack of safeties over Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. That's going to burn them a couple of times. And now they're showing highlights of Ronaldo on here. Jed, damn it. Messi's a failure to us. Is the game over yet? Fine. We'll talk more about some World Cup action here in a minute. We can talk more about Royals and the Jorge Soler injury. Certainly anything and everything on the table here is Andy Edwards will join us coming up in the second segment of the 10 o'clock hour as well. We are at Big O Tires. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So come out and see us here. We're at the Big O Tires at Legends. Grand, big opening during the month of June. All that. Enter to win great prizes like set of four tires, free oil changes, free Royals tickets. So much more of Big O Tires here at Legends. We'll be back with hour number two, Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.